Hey everyone, how's everybody feeling? Good? All right, we're almost to the end of this thing, so steady as the ship. I'm Mike Harnish. I am a creative director working on the Windows Next team. We build first-party Windows apps spanning from things like Paint 3D on the desktop all the way to our layout and remote assist applications we're building for HoloLens. And I'm here to discuss the power of spatial computing for 2D applications and how Fluent Design System will help bring the power of 3D to your experiences, even if you aren't a 3D developer. And by now, hopefully you've seen several of these talks. I'm showing this slide at the beginning because I'm one of the last talks. But we really worked hard to make sure that the Fluent story that we're telling across all these touch points and points of view echoes the same sentiment and shares the same philosophies, from things like Chigusa and Tim's evolving our design system session to Robert Carmen's windowing API session this morning, which actually gave some sneak peeks to some of the things I'm going to show you today. And it's really an exciting time to be a Windows developer. I really can't wait to show you some of the fresh explorations that my design activation team has been doing that really showcases the impact of 3D capabilities on traditional 2D applications. So check out this video to see the latest iteration of Fluent in experiences today. So raise your hand if you actually develop using Fluent controls and patterns today. How many of you guys do that? All right. How many of you guys are mixed reality developers? Oh, wow. That's really exciting. And how many of you guys actually build in 3D, commonly build in 3D? Oh, a lot. Great. Well, that's really exciting. We're going to touch upon three things that I really want you to take away from this session today. The first, and we just saw a really great rendition of the Fluent controls that we're bringing to you every 6 months. But really, it's important to understand that while we have a lot of beautiful visual things that we're bringing that create more engaging applications with things like materiality and depth and motion, we're really looking to build a system to connect our experiences across our ecosystem. And that's something that's really important. Second, even if you're not thinking about mixed reality today, there are new emotional connections that you're going to be able to make with your customer and more ways and deeper ways to engage them in productivity and creativity, even if you're building a traditional 2D app. And we're going to show some stuff there. And finally, even though I'm super excited to see so many 3D developers here, even if you don't know 3D, we're going to be doing things with our controls and patterns to help you along, even if you're just doing traditional 2D apps. Now, this is a slide you may have seen in other presentations. It's one of my favorites. It really kind of shows the amount of work as a developer that we all have to do in order to reach our customers and all the different devices and inputs that they're having to manage each day. And for customers, this is also incredibly daunting because as we're finding that customers are working across workflows using multiple devices, this is a lot of cognitive load to go through as you're starting to move from device to device. And to be clear, while Fluent doesn't have a solution for all these touch points today, it is really the goal for us on the Fluent journey that we embarked upon last year to continue to evolve the system with every release to start to lead and bring our customers and developers to all these different touch points. So we plan for Fluent to come in these iterative waves. You've seen the things that we released last year with the acrylic materials, perspective parallax, conscious controls. We have new things this year that we've been showing you guys, Z-depth, transient materials, branding, color system, all these things that we're bringing to Fluent as we evolve the system. Well, the things I'm going to show you today are things that we're embarking in the future. And the path to meaningful spatial design really starts with a few ideas. I'm going to talk to you about the idea of being in flow state, being in the zone. This is particularly important as workflows become more complex and agile for our customers. Second, emotional connection is incredibly important in engaging and retaining users that use our products. And we really want our ecosystem to feel unique and authentic to every customer, predictable and relatable. And finally, in talking about spatial computing, it's really important that what I'm going to focus on today is about space. It's about the space around the user, space around you as you engage with these experiences, not just the volume of the application itself. So what does it mean to be in the flow? I'm pretty sure everybody here probably has experienced this. You know, think back on that time you were coding or creating something, doing something meaningful to you, and you felt particularly empowered. It was that time where you were locked in, everything seemed effortless. This is that heightened state of awareness we like to call the flow. Sometimes we call it the zone. And it's really where our customers are their most productive and creative. And incidentally, it also is one of those moments where you're actually the most content and happy. But more so than just being a psychological state of mind, it's really expensive right now for businesses for people to be outside of this flow state, because unnecessary interruptions are costing an estimated $650 billion, with a B, billion dollars a year. And that breaks down to like 20% of a worker's week is blocked by these speed bumps, keeping them from achieving that flow state, and costing about $10,000 per information worker per year. And when we also look at the way that workers are starting, the people are actually starting to do their work because of all these devices, we're finding, especially with younger generations like Generation Z, that people are starting to complete singular workflows across a range of devices. They'll start an email on their phone and finish it on their desktop. We saw with a lot of students, they're actually writing their essays on their phone while they watch YouTube videos on their PC. And so especially as we move into head-mounted displays and things that are going to be more engaging and immersive for customers, we really want to make sure that we're creating a system that connects these experiences to maintain that flow state. And we're making decisions based on emotion. There is a study in 2013 that showed that people were 47% more likely to give money to a product or company if they had a positive emotional connection with that company. One of my favorite stories to illustrate this is that a beverage company a few years ago saw a flattening of their sales in the US, and simply by putting the names of people onto their products, by simply just putting the name of a person onto their cans and bottles, they saw an uptick in US sales for the first time in 4 years. Now, this is parallel research, but it really shows that as simple as people seeing themselves, their name in that product, people engage with that product more. And what's really exciting as a Windows developer is that the spatial experiences that we have the potential to build are going to be creating emotional connections in ways that our customers have never experienced before. If you've ever put on a HoloLens and seen something in your house sitting on your tabletop, you may have experienced this. It's something that we really think is going to take those 2D applications, putting them spatially around people, is going to benefit the customers in new and compelling ways. So that brings me to spatial computing and talking about what that means and how we actually adapt traditional applications to this new design paradigm. I'm sure you've heard a bazillion definitions of mixed reality, but in this context, I'm going to talk about mixed reality as just being content that is spatially informed and interactions that are natural and easy to use that break down the digital and physical worlds. Yesterday, Daniel and Blake were showing the Layout app, and I really liked the way that they described mixed reality, which was the blending of the richness of our real world with the multimedia capabilities of digital experiences. And the exciting thing is that this is already happening in the marketplace today and in our society today with devices where you can naturally tap into your music content by simply speaking to a speaker in your kitchen. And as a lover of music, it's something that I do every day. It's not only something that is breaking down those barriers, but it's changing the way that I actually do my daily tasks every day. And this is mixing reality today. Something else that we find is that experiences that are connected to us, we see this with mobile, and I love the idea of the e-reader, is that when we actually hold those experiences in our hands, we connect with them in powerful and personal ways than when something is actually detached from us. And traditionally, when we think of something like skeuomorphism, skeuomorphism is that use of relatable visual cues that help ease a customer into a new tech experience. It's come in and out of fashion over the years, but really it's necessary in some ways because when a customer that has never used a digital device can see lined paper, she can understand or he can understand, I understand this paradigm. I understand this is relatable to me. This is how I work. And traditionally, we've been doing skeuomorphism on a visual, doing it visually. But we're actually exploring something that I like to call behavioral skeuomorphism. And the e-reader is a great example of this. If we evolve traditional visual relatability to things that actually are the ways that humans move and work in their daily real-world lives, things like holding a book in your hand connect you to that digital content in a different way than, say, if you were reading that book on your laptop or even reading it on your phone. Because that's what we're used to. We have that relatability with books, and we carry that into the digital world in the same way. So now I want to talk about a case study. You may have seen bits of this in Robert's presentation this morning if you saw it. I want to talk about a traditional 2D app. My team made this generic intentionally. This is it could be a mail app, it could be a photos app, it could be an app in which to read news. But here we have different elements, controls, and patterns you would build with Fluent represented in yellow for navigation. We have the magenta representing the commanding, and then a list of collections in gray with the selected collection in blue, and then the preview of that collection over to the right in blue. And right now, as you saw with some of the Z-Depth stuff that we're showing, on the 2D desktop, we're actually adding volume. It's really exciting. We're adding shadowing, real-world shadowing, in a way that's actually adding visual hierarchy to the app. So now, if you actually take a look at this from an angle, you can see that the developer in this case wanted the commanding to be the most important part of the app to the user. It's pulled forward the furthest, affording the user visual cues in which to work with that app more easily. But with spatial computing, now we can actually start to summon those components to the user in this exercise using something like a 6-degree of freedom controller in Windows Mixed Reality. So now, and this again would be the way that we build this control and pattern would adapt seamlessly for you without having to build a bespoke control for your customer. We can now summon the commanding in a way that transforms it to say like a dial like look and feel around the 6-degree of freedom controller. We can now summon the navigation to the user in a way that feels more personal to them. And even further than that, we can now summon the content in a way that feels much more natural and relatable. From a first-person perspective, this is simply taking a look at, say, that string of emails that you haven't gotten to, being able to summon those to your hands and read them as simply as you'd read articles of paper in the real world. This could be, again, a series of emails. It could be those photos that you want to edit from your vacation, Or it could be that list of articles you've been putting off reading that you want to sit on your couch and naturally go through, even though they sit in digital space. And we don't have to stop there, because as the controls adapt further to things like mixed reality and HoloLens, well, now we can actually take that collections control that allowed you to hold that content in your hands, and now we can start to do new things with it, such as allowing the user, in this case, to display them on a table in the way that a photographer might look at photographs, or be able to then project them onto a wall in a way that a project manager might look at VSO items. And additionally, the familiarity of the UI should work seamlessly as the user shifts from device to device. So seeing this UI in this way in HoloLens should feel the same, move the same, have the same functionality that it would have, say, on a large screen or on a desktop. So, to recap, Fluent Design, beautiful but functional. It's there to help connect all of our devices across our ecosystem to create a better, efficient developer workflow, as well as an incredibly smooth workflow for our customers that will create that emotional connection and keep them in the flow. Mixed reality and taking those apps and moving them around you spatially actually deepens that emotional connection and helps keep people in the flow, because they're using those relatable, natural interactions that they're used to in real life. And finally, if you don't develop in 3D, that's okay, because we're going to do that for you by building our code to then transform as we move across these new devices that we're supporting in future waves of Fluent. But most importantly, if you take one thing away, remember, this is a journey that we are taking with you guys, the developers. We're building this for you so that you can build the experiences that you want to build for your customers. And we really want to hear from you and give you guys the tools that you need in order to start engaging with Fluent today. We have guidance, documentation. We have code that you can download. You can start using these XAML controls today. Things like Z-Depth will be coming in the future. And we have design toolkits for Adobe apps and other apps that you can start to use in your workflows starting right now. And co-create with us by becoming an insider, reaching out to us on Twitter or LinkedIn. So I want to leave you with one video that kind of shows where we were last year at Build and how far we've come in 1 year. Thanks, everybody. I'll be available afterwards for questions if you have any. And please send feedback. Let them know what you thought. Thanks for coming.